You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 team.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Locked On Dodgers is the daily podcast covering the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, along with Vince Semperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends. Vince, since we last talked to each other, baseball season has started. The Dodgers have played four games, and you and I spent several hours in the same building but never saw each other. So how are you?
Jeff, I'm great. I saw you on the Dodgers social media page, but didn't get to see you in person. But either way, it was a great weekend series. Not the greatest first game, but then after that, Dodgers took care of business. So I'm ready to talk about it.
Yeah, me too. So today we're going to be talking about the weekend. Not going to do a recap. We try to avoid just recap episodes on this show. We figure the vast majority of you watch the same games we do, so we don't need to give you scores and, you know, who got the win and who got the loss and who got the save. So we try to avoid that, but we are going to just talk about the series as a whole. Maybe more focus on the last three games just because you did do an episode after the opening day, but there will probably be some opening day stuff too. We're just going to each talk about two things we liked and one thing we disliked from the weekend, and that's going to be our episode. So that's the plan. But first, I want to remind all our listeners, please follow us wherever you get your podcasts. If you have Apple Podcasts, go ahead and slap us a follow on there to make sure it helps other people find us. Even if you don't use it, it's a good way to help us get more listeners. And really, what could be more important than that? So let's do one thing we each liked, and then we'll take a break. And then we'll do one thing we each disliked, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll do one last like to wrap it up. Start and end on good notes, since the Dodgers did win 3 out of 4, so it was mostly a good weekend. So why don't you go first with your first like?
Yeah, this is with the caveat that it has been four games, those four games being in Coors, so there's been some interesting things. But I think one of the stars of the weekend was Zach McKinstry, so makes sense to bring him up. He had the wild inside the park home run. He had a few other hits. He played some, not great defense, but made all the plays that he needed to make and just really shined it and stood out and kind of made us realize that, made the Kike Hernandez, it's been a big topic of conversation over the spring. Will they be able to replace him? Because they're used to having Kike and Chris Taylor. Now they just have Chris Taylor. Chris Taylor actually got the opening day start, as we mentioned in the last episode. So, it's just nice to see him have some success. He looks like he's going to bring some fun and different energy to the team, which is always welcomed, and especially with the loss of Kike. You did lose a little bit of personality in the clubhouse, so he seems to be bringing that a little bit as well. So he was probably the standout of the weekend, at least on the social media side and even on the actual side of playing baseball. So I'll go with Zach McKinstry.
Yeah, that's a good one. He was definitely a potential on my list. Like you said, it's Coors Field, and one of my biggest beliefs in the world is to never get too excited or too depressed about anything that happens at Coors Field. But McKinstry hit the ball hard, and hitting the ball hard is something that plays in every stadium, and he played solid defense at multiple positions, so I like that one. I'm going to go with Kenley Jansen. It was one game. It was 5 outs, and I don't know if it was – MLB said they were going to deaden the ball this year, and the very first batter that Kenley faced on Saturday night, I thought he had just given up a 3-run home run off the bat of CJ Crone, and it ended up being just your routine lazy warning track flyout. But I thought it was gone off the bat. Joe and Oral thought it was gone off the bat. Crone might have thought it was gone off the bat. But after that, I mean, Kenley looked good. He battled. He had pretty decent velocity, seemed to have good movement, good command. And in a weekend where, again, Coors Field, but we saw that some Dodger pitchers maybe not perform, maybe show us that, you know, for, well, I don't want to get into too much detail about those guys because they may end up showing up on our dislikes list in the next segment, but we definitely saw some pitchers underperform. And so it was good to see Kenley come in, be put in a situation he hadn't been put in almost 2 years, a five out save. He hadn't had to do that in a long time. And he did the job. He really didn't give us, you know, the two runners on base when we thought he had given up a home run weren't his runners. And then he walked a guy with I think two outs in the bottom of the ninth. And beyond that, really, he didn't give us too much heartburn and seemed like, you know, you always have to give caveats with Kenley that we're not expecting him to be 2016, 2017 Kenley. But if he could be the version, something like what we saw on Saturday night, I think that's a version that the Dodgers and Dodger fans will be pretty happy to have.
Yeah, if you would have told me that Kenley Jansen's first appearance of 2021 was a five-out save in Colorado, I would have been hard-pressed to believe you, or thought maybe he came in a safe situation, or like, you know, close game in the eighth, and then he got some insurance or whatever on the back end. But yeah, he you know, looked, for him, we know he has issues with Colorado, one. We know he's had issues in the past couple years with going more than three outs and things of that nature. So that was good to see. And considering I was at that game and I really wanted him to hold on and win, I'm glad he got the job done.
Yeah, and that's the, like you said, that's the stadium and city that's tried to murder him two times. You know, it's doing that in Colorado is a big deal. And yeah, I'm happy for Kenley. I like Kenley and I want him to be successful, especially because this probably is his last year with the Dodgers. And so it's good. It would definitely be a good thing for everybody involved if that's the version of Kenley we get. All right, we'll come back in a minute to talk about one thing we each disliked from the weekend. So keep it locked on Dodgers. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football's over, and the college basketball will be over tonight, but the NBA and NHL are in full swing, and as you know, Major League Baseball is back. And BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. You can get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It is the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y. It's a brand new app. Check it out. All right, we're back. Let's be negative Nellies for a minute, Vince. Let's talk about one thing we each disliked from the weekend. You want to go first or do you want me to go first?
You can go first this time.
Okay. I have two. I assume, I actually haven't had a chance to listen to your episode from Friday yet, so I assume you already, you beat the Kershaw horse to death already, probably, from opening day.
Yeah, but you might have a different perspective if you want to quickly go on it.
Yeah, you know, because my biggest dislike of the weekend was seeing Clayton Kershaw struggle, but I don't think I'm going to pick that just because I really do, like I said, I really don't believe in taking anything too seriously that happens at Coors, and I'm going to need to see Kershaw pitching in a real stadium a little bit before I get too worried. So that won't be my dislike. My dislike is going to be the dejuiced ball. Like, it seems like I mentioned in the last segment, MLB said they were going to dejuice the ball, and maybe they did, except for in the sixth inning of Friday night's game. It was basically, or seventh inning, I guess, there was no juice in the ball. The Dodgers only had two home runs, kind of three if you count Bellinger's. But even then, you would expect after the Dodgers hit 12 home runs in three games at Dodger Stadium against the Angels in the Freeway Series, then you go into Coors. And Coors gets kind of a, whatever the opposite of a bum rap is, as being a home run park. If you look at park factors, Coors is actually generally only a little bit above average in home run park factor. It's actually the rest of the rest of the offense that really helps, because they had to make the stadium so big because of the thin air, so it wouldn't be a crazy home run park. That means it's a lot easier to hit doubles and triples at Coors Field, and that's where a lot of the offense comes from. But still, you would expect more than two home runs from a team like the Dodgers that just pounds the ball and has so many home run type hitters. And it wasn't until the seventh inning on Sunday's game that the Dodgers finally got their first over the fence home run that counted as a home run. And Will Smith just destroyed that ball. And there may have been a little bit of Coors Field there, but you know, you can't be too upset with the Dodgers' overall offense for the weekend because they had like 8,000 hits. But you know, I really hope we're going to see more home runs. I like home runs. I understand the desire to dejuice the ball, hoping that it will lead people to stop swinging for the fences and therefore lead to more contact. But home runs are also fun because when you hit a home run, you get to run around the bases and get runs on the scoreboard and stuff. So I like home runs, and I don't want the ball to be as dejuiced as it seemed like it might be. And even just tonight, Sunday night, where I was watching the Angels White Sox game, and I don't know if you're watching, Vince, the walk-off home run that Jared Walsh hit. He hit it, and it was obviously a home run off the bat, and he dropped his bat. He knew it was a walk-off home run, and then it cleared the wall by a foot and a half, and Luis Robert almost robbed it at the wall. And it's like, come on. If something – and obviously I was glad on Saturday when Kenley pitched, and I thought that Cronin hit a home run. I was happy for the dejuiced ball there. But in general, if you hit a no-doubt home run, I want it to be a no-doubt home run, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. And while the Dodgers, I don't remember there being too many close calls on their end without, you know, any potential home runs, maybe a couple. But they were hitting a lot. They were hitting the ball really hard and a lot of line drive. So that was good to see on that end. So we'll see what happens. Maybe you never know with MLB what's going to happen. They might change it up halfway through if they don't like what's going on, and no one can do anything about it apparently. So we'll see how it goes. You know, not going to my thing I dislike, and not to harp on, you know, one person after a bad series, but this was the concern that we had, you and I both shared, coming into the regular season, and the first series didn't do him any favors. It's AJ Pollock. AJ Pollock had 14 at-bats and struck out in half of them. He just had two hits, two singles. He did end up scoring three runs, which is fine because he got on base and was able to score. But yeah, it's just, I'm glad for whatever the reasons were that, I mentioned this on Friday's episode, that Chris Taylor got the start. And you know, the way McKenzie's going to be or swinging the bat if he keeps that going. Chris Taylor, same thing. And other guys that may be forcing some hands over there for AJ Pollock. I really hope he figures it out, gets it together. Obviously, one bad series. But it's not like the Rockies have any world beaters. Pitching-wise, the Dodgers were able to get a lot of hits. Not so many runs on opening day, but they were able to put up more runs in the following games. Now, didn't really strike out too often as a whole team. So that was a little concerning that he had the most strikeouts and he was batting a little bit higher in the lineup than I would have liked, just based on what he's done in the spring. I understand what Dave Roberts is trying to do. Obviously, it's way early on, but it's just one thing that was already a concern, and then it didn't look very much better the first series.
Yeah, and I definitely had that thought too. You know, he's going to get a chance, but I think that everybody understands what AJ Pollock is, and last year his numbers were definitely inflated by being so good against lefties. But if he's just, you know, average or a little above average against lefties, and he hits righties the way he has the last couple of years, yeah, I think he probably is a platoon player in the next, probably not sooner than a month. I think they'll give him enough time, but also we saw this weekend that Roberts is going to give guys days off, and obviously Pollock's days off will come against right-handers, and probably more often, even if it's not a full platoon, he's going to get more days off than Cody Bellinger, Mookie Betts, and Corey Seager, you know, and so he might be a platoon player for a few weeks before anybody is willing to admit that he's a platoon player, but just in actual practice, that might be what we end up seeing. And, you know, I don't think there will be any complaints from this particular podcast if we get to the point sooner than later that AJ Pollock isn't facing right-handed pitching.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We'll take one more break, and then we will come back, and we will end on a positive note. We will each have at least one more thing we liked, and may have to do some honorable mentions because I've got a long list of likes. And so we will be back, so keep it locked on Dodgers. Built Bar. Built Bar Madness is over. The winner was, Vince, I don't remember it again, coconut something.
Coconut brownie chunk.
Coconut brownie chunk, my wife's favorite. That's the one that won. I've never tasted that one because I don't like coconut, but Vince, you were telling me that you don't like coconut much either, but you really like that one, so I might have to give it a try next time I am having a Built Bar because, you know, if the voters like it, it won the Built Bar Madness as the best protein bar, then, you know, maybe it's worth it. But let's just talk about Built Bar in general. As you know, it is the best tasting protein bar ever. Texture is awesome, flavor is awesome, and the nutrition is just ridiculous. I was at Dick's Sporting Goods with my son the other day, and I saw this Gatorade protein bar. I didn't know Gatorade made protein bars. I picked it up. I looked at it. It has 43 grams of carbs in it. Just ridiculous. Built Bar, they're all like 4 to 6 grams of carbs. They've got all these delicious flavors that, you know, a lot of them, you feel like you're eating a candy bar, except you don't feel guilty about it because they are high protein, low calorie, low carb, high fiber. They work for keto, and you know, keto, if you can eat it on keto, you know, it's not going to kill you on the carbs. You got the peanut butter Built Bar, 19 grams of protein, only 180 calories, only 5 grams of sugar and 5 grams of net carbs. A lot of them, they're all like that. They're all right in that range. Some of them even lower. Cookies and cream. Like, you think of eating a cookies and cream bar and then you're getting only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar? Come on. So you need to get your Built Bars. If you haven't tried them yet, do. And even if you have, order them. Go to BuiltBar.com, and if you use code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your order. You can order as much as you want, get 15% off all of it, and it is the best-tasting protein bar ever. So go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15. Fantasy Baseball Addicts, you now have a new resource to give you an advantage in your leagues, Locked On Fantasy Baseball. It's a daily fantasy baseball podcast hosted by veteran fantasy analyst Scott Cullen, who uses data and nearly 2 decades of fantasy baseball experience to offer the strategies and waiver wire pickups that lead to league wins. Follow Locked On Fantasy Baseball on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, Vince, it's time to end on a positive note or 10. Why don't you go first again? I know you did the first positive last time, but you can go positive again. What is your last or at least second positive to take away from the weekend?
I will grant you, Gavin Lux won't count for you, so just so you know, when you go up on yours, that'll be like a guaranteed one. Yeah, there's a lot to go off of. You know, I singled out some specific people the first time. Not really, don't want to single out another person just for a one-time series. But the offense as a whole now, it was a bit of a mixed bag on opening day. They put up 10. The next day, they put up 6. The next day, put up 4. But just, you know, the way they kept going, the way they did last year, being very patient, you know, working walks. They had a bunch of walks. They got 3 runs in the first inning yesterday without the benefit of a hit. Being patient, they were able to do that on opening day with Marquez and got him out after 4 innings, which should have been something more that they could have taken advantage of. I mean, other than the fact that Chichi Gonzalez somehow was, you know, pitching well against them in 2 separate games, I really liked what we saw from the offense. They got contributions from just about everyone. Obviously, some had more contributions than others, but like Turner mentioned after the game on Friday, after they put up 10 runs, no home runs, and he basically was laughing. I don't remember what the exact question was, but he basically was like, hey, you guys said we used to rely too much on home runs, now he put up 10 without it, so I'm fine with it. And yeah, like that game specifically, I just remember a lot of hard hits, especially early on in that game while they built that lead. But just the rest of the time, they're hitting the ball hard and working walks and, you know, getting starting pitchers out early in the game. Obviously, the Rockies is a lot of different team. They're going to see some better teams in the coming weeks. But it's just the fact that the philosophy is still kind of there and they were able to use it to their advantage as they usually do. That's what I liked.
Yeah, that's a really good one. You know, we talked at near the end of spring training about how how it's a challenge in spring training to keep that mindset when you're playing games that don't matter, when you know that you're not, you're only seeing the guy for a couple innings anyway, so you're not as worried about his pitch count. But we saw in spring training, the Dodgers kept that mindset of we're getting pitchers' pitch counts up. And we saw it, you know, Marquez had 60 something pitches through three innings. We saw it again with Austin Gomber. You know, the Dodgers know how to work a count, and it's going to work in their favor throughout the season, especially when, you know, we saw lingering effects. Even though they lost on opening day, they got Marquez out after four innings or whatever, and that meant they got to see the bullpen. So they, you know, the Rockies, even though the Rockies went into the series with an extra reliever, knowing that they are the Rockies and they were facing the Dodgers, you know, that mindset definitely helped. So that's a really good one. The offense was fun to watch most of the series, even though there was some bad luck on Thursday. I think for my official second like, I'm going to go with Corey Knebel. It's funny that I end up going with two late inning relievers as my two likes, because I've got a lot of hitters on my list. But you know, Corey Knebel, you know, I've kind of lumped him and Jimmy Nelson together in my mind throughout spring training, even though they're not really the same type of pitcher, but just they're both former Brewers, and so they've kind of been lumped together in my mind. But what we saw this weekend was Jimmy Nelson struggling a little bit and Corey Knebel not. Corey Knebel looks really good. He's got great stuff. And the fact that the reason he's a Dodger is because the Brewers didn't want to pay his money. Like, you know, people complain about the Dodgers buying championships, and for the most part, it's a bogus claim. The Dodgers have so much homegrown talent and everything. But, you know, Knebel might be a case where it's actually accurate that they're buying championships, but it's buying it for like a nickel. Like, any team could afford Corey Knebel what he's making this year if they had chosen to, but the team that had him chose not to, and the Dodgers said, wait, you want to get rid of this guy because he's going to make $6 million as an elite reliever? Yeah, we'll go ahead and take him off your hands. We'll do you that favor. And that's what we're seeing so far. And again, it's one weekend. And maybe that's why I ended up going with two pitchers, because it's a lot easier to get excited about good pitching performances in Coors Field, because you know, if anything, the odds are stacked against those things happening. And so, you know, I'm not going to get too excited about Gavin Lux, you know, proving me right that he's a great hitter. And defensively, man, Gavin, I'll talk about that in a minute, I guess. You know, I'm not going to get too excited about Corey Seager going, you know, 85 for 86 this weekend or whatever it was. Even though I do believe those things are going to last, I'm not going to get too depressed about Clayton Kershaw. I'm not going to get too depressed about, you know, Trevor Bauer having the rails come off in the seventh inning. Not going to get upset about that stuff or excited about the other stuff because it's all Coors Field. But Kenley Jansen and Corey Knebel looking really, really good in Coors Field, those are things that I'm allowing myself to get excited about, because those are things that Coors Field actively works against. And I feel like if what's that song? If you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. It's talking about New York, but I think a relief pitcher in Coors Field, the sentiment applies.
Oh yeah. Knebel was actually one of the ones I almost said, but then I decided to go with the offense, and yeah, he's looked really good. You know, some of the other guys, you know, whatever it was, but if you would have, again, going back to what the Jansen one, you would have told me that the three relievers that came out of the weekend with a zero ERA were Kenley Jansen, Scott Alexander, and Corey Knebel, I would only believe Knebel. So it was an interesting weekend, to say the least, on a few fronts. But Corey Knebel, yeah, definitely looked good. Closed out the game. And, you know, obviously Jansen was unavailable because he pitched the five outs before. But, you know, maybe it's a small sign that Roberts may be more willing to use some of these guys in later innings or to close out games.
The fact that he used Kenley for five outs on Saturday, knowing that he had games the next 4 days, you know, shows that he has faith in other guys to close out games. Cause you know, you expect the Dodgers to have another save situation or two in the next few days. And so knowing that he had Knebel, let him use Kenley in that way. And honestly, you know, you'd rather have Kenley go five outs than Kenley get two outs and then Knebel, you know, and both of them maybe be less effective or unavailable for Sunday's game. So, you know, I like that. I'd like to see overall the bullpen used in that way. We saw, again, you know, going back to the Sunday night baseball game between the Angels and White Sox, we saw, again, some old school managing. Tony La Russa had Liam Hendricks warming up in the top of the ninth when the White Sox tied the game and had the go-ahead run in scoring position. And then when they didn't take the lead, he had Hendricks sit down. And, you know, there's I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is. The first week of the season, do you really want to use your closer in a tie game? I understand the thinking. You know, Liam Hendricks has only thrown more than 64 innings in relief in his career once. And so you can't just use Liam Hendricks every time you're in a tough situation. But, you know, in a tie game with Mike Trout and Anthony Rendon coming up, you know, maybe that's the time you use your closer. And so I was happy to see that Dave Roberts seems to have, whether because he has better tools at his disposal or just because he's a more enlightened manager, I was happy to see that it wasn't the Dodgers going out there getting burned by old school traditional bullpen management and just kind of being willing to say, all right, Kenley, go get us five outs and we'll use Knebel in the safe situation tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. So, and Roberts has been somewhat more progressive than others in that regard. So I would imagine he'll just continue to do that.
And Gavin Lux looked really good at shortstop, huh? Good defense?
Yeah, not, he's making some of these great plays. I don't think, whatever it was last year and the year before, I think he's obviously feels more comfortable now. But then again, some of these other plays he's making, he doesn't really have time to think about anything, so that also helps.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, it was a small sample size. You know, you make a couple errors. I sometimes think maybe there was one game I didn't watch that all the rest of you watched, because Gavin Lux, like, I know he wasn't stellar defensively last year, but I just didn't have the same opinion of his defense as the rest of you guys. And so maybe did he have a game where he had like four errors or something?
I don't know if he necessarily had errors, but there was, the throws weren't, they were routine throws that he made not routine.
Yeah, so I was happy to see Lux playing great defense and obviously hitting the ball. You know, I'm driving the Lux train and I am welcoming new people on board daily. And welcome aboard, folks. I'm not going to criticize you or judge you for not being on board earlier.
I'll go with one honorable mention that wasn't on the field. And a shout out to you, the National Ballpark Museum, which I checked out. I saw it on Wednesday when I was first out there, but didn't go inside, and then saw that you went inside and it looked, and you said it was interesting, and went inside, and man, it was such a small space, but so much history in there. If you're ever in Colorado, it's literally one block over from the stadium. It's $10 for adults, and you know, just go check it out if you're ever in Denver. A lot of stuff in there. There's some old stuff from Ebbets Field and some other Dodger related things, but just in general baseball related. The lady that was working there that day, I'm not sure she's there every day, was very knowledgeable and was actually one of the ones that has a lot of her pieces in that museum, with molding of hands, players' hands holding the bat, which was really cool. She did Duke Snider, and she did, I think she said like 25 Hall of Famers. So I just wanted to shout that place out because it was really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. It was awesome. I was happy we went over there. It didn't officially open until 11 a.m. And turns out opening day was actually their first day open since COVID started. So it was their first day in over a year. And I knew it didn't open until 11, but the boys and I went over there, got there about 10, just figured we'll just sit outside and maybe they'll let us in early, because we knew we wanted to be the stadium right when the gates opened and we didn't want to be rushed through the museum. And at about 10:20, the lady comes out and says, "Come on in, guys." And so we were their first customers in over a year. And yeah, it's awesome. What's her name? Raylene, the older lady?
Yeah.
Really cool stuff. Johnny Bench's hands that she did, you know, because Johnny Bench has famously huge hands. It's cool to see she's got a mold of his hands holding the bat. Really cool place. So yeah, if you're in Denver, check out the National Ballpark Museum. Kids are free too. So it cost me $10 for me and my two sons to go in there and spend an hour just checking out all this stuff in a really cool place. So good shout out. And yeah, I think that wraps it up. You have any final thoughts, Vince?
Like I said, disappointing start, but I'm glad the Dodgers took care of business and did what they needed to do. It'll be an interesting week this week with the A's, who got swept by the Astros, but are still supposed to be a kind of a good team. And then obviously the Nationals, if they finally get to play, which it seems they're on track to play Tuesday, which means the Dodgers might miss one of or both of Scherzer and Strasburg, which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And as long as I'm happy the Nationals get to play so that we don't have our home opener in jeopardy of getting canceled. So, and for all the health reasons too, I guess, whatever. So, all right. Well, thank you all for listening. We appreciate it. We love that you keep coming to us. Hopefully now that the season started, you'll join us every day. We are going to be here every weekday morning with about a half hour worth of Dodger talk for you. We would love to hear from you. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Semperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com. And our phone number for voicemails and text messages is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all hard. All heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant?